The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 511. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, my guest for this episode has appeared on the show four or five times in the past, and he's back again to talk about a new project that he has. That is really interesting. I'm talking about Jay Kalagayan, the man behind Creative Muscle Productions. Jay's new project is called St. Malo, and it's a tale about the settling of Filipino people in North America, specifically in Louisiana. It's interesting to see how the cultures, you know, kind of merge together in that cultural diffusion. He's got a lot to say about the process for creating the book. And of course, don't worry, we're going to talk about his other various projects, including Messed Comics, The Filipino Assassin, Grassman, other cryptids from the Cryptid Corner. We got a lot to cover, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time here. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about some great sponsors, and then I'm going to throw it to my discussion with Jay. And of course, when I talk about sponsors, I'm starting with the newest sponsor to the PVD Cast. That's Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, and Poshmark. Simply look for Courtney, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614, or Courtney underscore 614, and you can get yourself some fabulous deals. And let her know, if you do get anything from her, that you heard about her endeavors from right here on the PVD Cast. And now on to the old school sponsor of this podcast. That, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, and they got it for your comic book fandom. So you need to check out the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. Just simply drop on over to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And I appreciate both of those fine folks supporting the PVD Cast. It means a lot to me, and I really, truly do appreciate it. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jay Kalagayan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down tonight with a gentleman that has been on the PVD Cast several times. I think it's number four or number five. Who's counting? Anyways, the man behind Creative Muscle Productions, Jay Kalagayan. Jay, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to be like the SNL alum that get the six time appearances on your shows. That would be awesome.
I'll have to create a little award for that, huh?
Yeah. Come on. Because you've been doing this how many years?
Oh, geez. Let's see. 2012, I started. Ooh. So it's been a long time. And
where's that award? Where's your award? Everybody gets a trophy. You need a medal. You need a medal.
So how have things been with you real quick? Everything good after the holiday rush and whatnot?
Living the dream. I just premiered the new St. Malo book in New Orleans. We had a Filipino creator night on Thursday at a place called Ramen Union. Bayo Barcada hosted us. And so we got to premiere it to the Filipinos of New Orleans, which was wonderful. And then we did a Fan Expo. Then we did Fan Expo New Orleans. So all weekend long at their convention center. And the weather held out. I mean, it was really hot and humid. It was like, I think it was almost late 70s. It was like 80 and humid on Thursday, Friday. And then it dropped to like the 50s and stuff. So, but it's a good place to spend January, New Orleans, you know?
Indeed. Well, let's talk about your new project, St. Malo. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about the project?
Absolutely. So it's about blood. The first residents of St. Malo paid their toll with blood and sweat, crossing the Pacific Ocean in servitude, escaping their enslavers. The Filipinos found their freedom in the new world. The village of St. Malo was a place for freedom. But it's been corrupted by their fears and their beliefs. Sometimes you bring your own baggage. And this led to the dark things taking root and hunting them for blood. This is historic fiction. So it starts with a root of historic fact, which is the first Asian settlement in North America was in Louisiana, New Orleans, Lake Bourne. In a first Asian settlement called St. Malo, and it was founded by Filipinos.
They were around for a very long time, because I think that in my research, it was what, the early 1915s or something when unfortunately natural disasters hit?
Yes, it was destroyed several times by hurricanes. The start of Filipinos coming to America was in the 1500s, and then we have Spain doing the slave route trade route, the Manila Acapulco galleon trade. So the village of St. Malo was started as early as 1763, before there was a Declaration of Independence.
Wow. Okay. Why did you want to produce this book?
It always starts at a Comic-Con, doesn't it? Isn't that how the stories start for us? No, I was at, I forget which Comic-Con it was, and someone mentioned the Stilt Village outside of New Orleans, a Filipino Stilt Village outside of New Orleans. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I looked it up, and, you know, they didn't have bamboo, but yet they were still able to use the materials there and create a Stilt Village on the lake. So they weren't like off the lake or, you know, just on the embankment or something like that. They were on the lake. Filipinos have these kind of stilt houses and stuff that they live in. So the whole concept just really captured my mind. And I was like, okay, I gotta research this. So I looked it up. Not a ton of research. A lot of good homegrown people, Filipinos in the area of Louisiana especially, are trying to put a spotlight on this. So I'm hoping I can continue to put a spotlight on this historic fact, even though admittedly I'm having some fun with my fiction that goes along with it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the fiction. I assume that you have a protagonist. Could you tell us a little bit about that individual?
So Laika is a Baba Yan. Kind of a medicine woman, a Filipino medicine woman, shaman. And she is kind of the lead character. Her husband has passed away. And she's kind of taken his house and trying to make a living for her and her daughter, Tala. So then they can move or just better their situation, move back to the parishes. In the village of St. Malo is predominantly word of mouth wise, and from a report from Harper's Weekly, it was predominantly men. Women rarely got there to the village. So it was predominantly men. So I love having someone who identifies as female as the lead character, main character.
Why was it that many women did not make it there? Did you find any information about that? Was it because of some type of, you know, stereotype or some type of gender bias or something along those lines? Or was it just that's how it was?
So there was an article in the 1800s. It was Lafadio Hearn, and I probably said his first name wrong. He lived in Cincinnati, also lived in New Orleans, and he even moved to Japan and became an author. He did probably one of the more definitive articles, or at least one of the earliest definitive articles I know of. And he kind of just described it as, it sounds like a very male, this is where we work. We do play at night, but it's mostly... it's almost like a man cave, you know, like women not allowed. And then when women go, it's usually because they are married to or are with one particular male, and then fights break out and things like that. So it sounds like everyone's pretty territorial and cutthroat in this village. I mean, they lived outside of any kind of law. There was elder law. The elders of the Stilt Village, but it wasn't like anything. There was no prison. There was punishments, but there were no prisons. They were under Spanish law, French law, or even American law. They were just outside, world outside themselves, you know?
So you expressed that you learned a little bit about the Stilt Village, and I would like to share something that I learned while doing the research that I thought was pretty darn cool. If I read correctly, many of the Filipino individuals in Louisiana became part of Jean Lafitte's crew.
I don't want to say, I don't know how many exactly, but yes, they fought in the War of 1812.
Okay. That, to me, I was like, I did not know that. First of all, I mean, let's just, I'm just going to be honest here. I never knew anything about St. Malo until you dropped this preview into my inbox and whatnot. I did not know that this place even existed. So I learned that. But then on top of that, I learned that cool fact, which I was like, you know what? That's something I would never have figured would have happened.
Well, I mean, I think when you're fighting a war, you'll take, and the fact is, Filipinos, those are they're descendants from the sailors that crossed the ocean. We know the water. So yeah, I want every able seaman on my ship for this. My God.
How was the writing process for St. Malo? Like, was it more, say, difficult than your previous historic fictions? You know, like the Filipino Assassin, you had a lot of research involved in that project. Did you have and you obviously had a lot of research in this. Did it mirror one another how you tackled that, or did you kind of do some different things?
So with Mess Comics, 10 years ago, if you can believe it, it's going to be the anniversary.
No way. No way.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I said it. So with Mess Comics, I probably took about a year of research and writing research, mixing it up, just writing scenes, writing dialogue, you know, the descriptions, that kind of thing. And then Dylan started working on it, and we probably, that was the next year, 2016, had the comics, you know. They were 8-pagers, you know, that kind of thing. This St. Malo, I've been working on this probably for 5 years, easy, off and on through the pandemic. We went to the Philippines in 2023 to visit my mom's family, and I wrote a couple chapters there. I mean, I'm serious. This is probably one of the longer writing process and research process I've ever had when it came to a book. We released 5 books this year, all of them like The Goat, Grassman, Dr. Skin Tag, but they all came, they were all written after the first chapter of St. Malo was written. So it took a long time to get this concept down, get what I was thinking, and then to find the artist. Pharaohwind is the artist of the book, and they are spectacular. They really just capture a nice blend of just American style with anime style, the horror, the humidity. I think Fairwind just really captures a lot of that in her storytelling.
Yeah, it's really beautiful artwork, I will say. Yeah, from what I've seen and the snippets that I've seen, very, very, very well done.
I met them at GalaxyCon. I was doing a panel. So I wasn't there for a whole day. I was just there on a Saturday, and I was doing a panel. And I walked Artist Alley, because Artist Alley needs support. Artist mm-hmm. Alley always needs attention, and I wanted to do what I could. And I saw their booth, and I was like, "What? Fairwind does a lot of like kaiju Godzilla work."
And, oh, cool!
You'll see Godzilla, but then you'll see that Jeff Darrow-esque detail in the skin, you know. So that was the kind of detail work I loved. So I asked them to read the script, see what they thought, and they're very quick. They're working on chapter 2 as we speak.
You know what? I was going to ask you. You said that there was chapter 1, and I was going to ask about what are subsequent chapters coming out, and obviously you're already hard at work with chapter 2.
Absolutely. We were very lucky that we have a grant from ArtsWave down here in Cincinnati. It's an arts fund that supports organizations, arts organizations, artists, that kind of thing. And so we got another, we got an innovation grant or a truth grant. I think it's truth and innovation grant. I apologize. I don't know the exact name, but we were a recipient of it, which is helping pay for artists and for printing, which is wonderful.
So where can folks get a copy of St. Malo?
You go to Mess Comics, MESSED comics.com. And there'll be links on there. You go to the blog posts, definitely links there, or our Ko-fi page, which is creativemuscle@ko-fi.com.
Since you also have the Filipino Assassin in your catalog, I mean, it's obvious that you really feel like that it's maybe, for lack of a better term, it's your duty to bring these topics up. Is there a topic in Filipino culture that you want to do really, really badly when you're done with St. Malo?
Duty. I like that. I like that. Why don't you say like, are you going to use like a St. Joan metaphor for me? Am I chosen? No. I appreciate your perspective on that. That's really good. I grew up in Union City, Pennsylvania, Erie, Pennsylvania. I can't even, Erie's so small, but I grew up in an even smaller town, Union City, Pennsylvania, right? And I did not have a lot of exposure to my ethnicity, my culture. My parents did a good job with it, but, you know, there's only so much you can do in Erie, Pennsylvania. So I think that what I'm trying to do now is kind of do the Venn diagram between my geekiness and my culture, my ethnicity. And try to discover more about that. And even though Dr. Skin Tag, that one-shot book I did, which actually might have a second chapter, I'm working on that. That's the only book I do that takes place in the Philippines. I've only been to the Philippines a couple of times. I would not feel genuine doing a story. I would not feel as authentic doing a story in the Philippines. To write about Filipino Americans, I do feel like I have, I can do that. I do have the license to do that. I have almost the duty or the obligation that you're saying to do that. So putting a spotlight on Vincent Hambright, you know, or, you know, putting a spotlight on the first Filipino village in North America, you know, I love being able to have that kind of opportunity.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Skin Tag, because it kind of made me, I literally went, ew, gross.
All right. So I'll tell you about it. It's so the quick version is it's about a Filipino aswang, Filipino vampire, and they eat skin tags to survive.
Oh, that's even worse, Jay. Oh, gosh.
Like popcorn. Oh, it's such a fun story. And I worked with body horror artist Rylan Jose out of Chicago. And so if you ever check out their Instagram, holy crap, it's amazing. So a lot of just great body horror. She's been in a couple of exhibitions around Chicago area. So if you get a chance, check out Rylan Jose.
The Dr. Skin Tag, along with the goat, along with the grass man, are all part of your cryptid collection, so to speak.
Yeah.
So how'd you get involved in that?
We did the Cincinnati Cabinet of Curiosities down here in Cincinnati. Local artists to the Indiana, Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio area, taking on local legend lore and cryptids. So I was reading a lot of those stories, and I just didn't feel anything that sung to me. Because Cat Clockow with Red Cat Comics, she's one of the editors on the project, and she just, you know, she's almost like a cryptidologist, where they were showing us all the research and the different names and stuff. So I was like, let me look at the different research. It's like a Wikipedia kind of thing, and none of them were really singing out to me, because I didn't feel any diversity. I didn't feel any ethnicity, any the DEI stuff that's like the swear word right now. But I didn't feel that in the experiences. So what I did is I did the story of Mermaids of the Ohio River. Mermaids of the Ohio River, and I have them as runaway slaves because of the Ohio River's place in the escaping slaves in the Freedom Railroad, Underground Railroad, sorry. And so the mermaids are basically the transformed slaves who are almost guardians of the river and helping the slaves cross the river. I mean, it's just a fantastic way to just mesh different histories together and just kind of diversify the cryptids. I think that what I also like about the cryptids, I see the opportunity to diversify the cryptids, but what I inherently like about the cryptids from the first impression was the fact that they're not even public domain. They were never owned by anyone to begin with. So when you go to different cons, comic cons, cryptid cons, whichever, pop cons, you'll see Bigfoot, you see all that kind of thing. It's not legally gray at all. They were never owned by anyone to begin with. You know what I mean? So like, if you see Superman, Prince of Superman or Superman t-shirts or Thor, you know, that kind of thing, it might be a little legally gray, but when you see Mothman or Bigfoot or something like that, that's all should be pretty clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How did you select these other couple of projects of yours for the cryptids, like the Grass Man and the Goat? How'd you get to do when you were working on the project? Because correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there other creators working along with other cryptids as well?
Lawrence Sparks did a pinup of the Poplar Creek Monster in the first issue of Cabinet of Curiosities. And it just really captured your imagination, this goat-like creature hanging from a train trestle, and the train trestle's all high up, and there's a train passing by, and it's just like, what? So that was one that just really captured my imagination, and I was kind of just stewing at the Frogman Festival. There was a Frogman Festival down in Cincinnati. I was in a panel, and I was just thinking of ideas and stuff, and I just couldn't forget about this goat character. So I do a kind of haunted train trestle, Louisville, Kentucky, and I kind of do a lone wolf and cub situation where the goat is kind of seeking redemption and starts by rescuing a melonhead cryptid little girl.
Cool deal. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jay for just a moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're very active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics.
Let's talk about a couple of your other projects. The one we just mentioned multiple times here, the Filipino Assassin, the Tale of Vincent Hambright. So this is another one of your historical fiction books, correct?
Well, okay, so there's the Cryptid Corner, and honestly, Dr. Skintag with the Filipino Aswangs and the and St. Malo can kind of slide into the Cryptid Corner. With Filipino Assassin, that's probably one of the few books I do that's straight up the historic facts as we know it. Okay. So what I loved about Filipino Assassin is it just really just focuses on telling that story and the fact that there was a real boxer, 1920s, late 1920s in Cincinnati. He had his knockout right hand, and the papers called him the Filipino assassin. I mean, and the fact that I'm Filipino, I'm living in Cincinnati, and I've never heard of this character before, this person, this real person, this hidden figure before. I really wanted to put a spotlight on that.
Well, you also mentioned Mess Comics as well, and I can't believe it's been 10 years.
10 years.
Are you sure you're counting right?
I'm sure, 2016.
Man. Well, let's let the folks know who have not listened to maybe a previous episode where you've been a guest and we've talked quite a bit about Mess, but let's recap it for those folks that maybe need a recap, or those folks that are brand new listening for the first time. Tell us a little bit about Mess Comics, if you will, Jay.
So Mess Comics is the nickname for the Metropolitan Sewer District. It stars Lilliput. She's a sewer worker, and she's our tour guide to the weird, wild, wet world beneath our feet. All she's got is a shovel, and all these sewer worms are trying to stop her from clearing out the tunnels. It's a book that is both fun and disgusting at the same time. And part of that was I was inspired by my daughters to create a strong character that happens to be female, happens to be Asian. And so when I bring them with me to the comic book store or the bookstore, they get to see someone who looks like them on the shelves. And that was 10 years ago. I was, the neatest thing about Mist especially is the fact that with the inspiration of my kids, you get to introduce your children to the things that you love, but sometimes they end up reintroducing it back to you. So, you know, that sci-fi series that you love so much that might not be as gender equitable, or, you know, that fantasy series that might not be that diverse at all, you know. So I wanted to contribute something that kind of led to them seeing themselves, who they see in the mirror, they'll see on the shelves.
Do you have plans to continue on with Mess?
Yes. Yes. Clint Bassinger did this great Messenger series where Akka, the rat, her partner in slime, Lilliput's partner in slime, has her own adventure. So we're containing that into a big book. And then we have season 4, chapter 2 coming out. That'll be in the summer with Dylan. Dylan's doing new artwork for that. So that'll be part of the anniversary. We're very excited to be celebrating that.
Yeah, that's a great, great monument, great achievement. So fantastic, Jay. You know what? You've talked about, you talked about Dylan, and I know you've worked with Ethan Pope, and you also mentioned Clint Bassinger. Who are some of the other creators that you've worked on? Because I think that that those folks have been really talented and been an integral part to your success.
So one of the fun books I've been working on is Grassman, Ohio's Favorite Cryptid. And I'm working on that with Tim Fuller. Tim Fuller is a phenomenal creator. He does Sham Comics and Captain Catnip. Those are things he's been working on probably the last decade or more as well. Captain Catnip's way back. And what's great about working with Tim is he's just someone I always admire. And we go to different comic cons, so we have great conversations. And we finally found a book we can work on. And with Grassman, it's everything you'd want as far as nostalgia and moving a legend and taking a legend and moving it forward. So because of his name, Grassman is hired by the marijuana companies to represent them. And so he's a spokesperson for edibles because of Grassman. He buys a nature preserve with the money. He does slam poetry with like Mothman. And he houses rude and dangerous species like the Allegheny wood rat. So it's just this fun book. And to make it even better, with the nostalgia Tim and I have about past comics, it's told in that Hostess Cupcake ad format from the 70s and 80s, where it's like Spider-Man, and it's like, save a Spider-Man from the criminals. And he's like, Spider-Man is like, I can't do it. And he's like, well, wait, maybe I'll throw these Hostess Cupcakes or cherry pies at them and they'll slow them down. And then he captures the villains. So all the Grassman stories are told in that Hostess Cupcake format and even ends with a edible product endorsement that I make sure are all like native Ohio plants and spices.
Still doing research, even for something fun like the grass man.
That's the fun research.
Yeah. You know what? I'll throw it out there for folks that are listening. I got a chance to talk to Tim Fuller. I don't remember where it is in the archives, but Tim's a really cool dude. And personally, I think the thing I admired most at his table was his fake TV guides that he produced.
Yes, yes.
For those folks that if I can have just a second here to explain, they are legitimately like printed TV guides, but they're fake. They're all the listings are fake, and they're all like jokes and whatnot. And it's pretty darn funny. But he told me like it was painstaking to make them because you had to find the right font for the TV channels. Because if you are of a certain age, you remember when you watch TV and you had the TV guide and it would say like channel 18 and it would have like the black letters with the white. And apparently that was such a pain in the neck to get done. But I bought one. I suggest that if you're out, you see Tim at a con, pick one of those up too. I think it's top notch.
Excellent. He does the sham comics also, where he'll take Golden Age comics or public domain comics. He'll scan them in and he'll keep the art basically the way it is, but he will rewrite the dialogue. And he's come up with some hilarious ones.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think he told me a story about, because being the wrestling fan, of something about he wanted to do something with El Santo, but they were very, very, very like, no. And so... but yeah, definitely. Tim's a good dude. How about some of the other folks that you've worked with, such as, like I said, Ethan Pope, or you already mentioned Craig and a few of the other folks?
Well, I would say right now I'm working closest with Farrowwind. They are out of Portland. And I think that their career is just getting started. I'm hoping to get a good amount of issues working with Farrowwind. And then, you know, then they'll be an undiscovered talent kind of thing. Ethan Pope, I think it's going to be a huge talent. I would say that he's not doing as much of his own indie work right now, but he is focused on The Goat, which is great. He's also working on chapter 2 of The Goat. So, and that artwork is very, I don't know, I would say like a pre Hellboy Mike Mignola kind of Daniel Warren Johnson kind of style. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So let's talk about your appearance on another podcast real quick, because I'm interested. I'm interested in how you ended up being, well, I know how you ended up. I mean, there's no two ways about it, but tell me about the experience of being on the Backed Up podcast.
That's really great. So Backed Up is it's a podcast series from WVXU down here in Cincinnati. I don't know why I say down here. That makes no sense. It's still downriver, but anyway, down here in Cincinnati, from you all Columbians. anyway, Backed Up is a podcast series from WVXU, and they talk about the sewer system down here and the Metropolitan Sewer District, where I did the predominant amount of my research. And what's hilarious is this probably happens where everyone lives, but there's a weird fight between the county and the city on who owns and who pays for the MSD, the sewer systems. So, and, you know, it's the most, and it was built 100 years ago or more. And, you know, it's all the system's antiquated, so it needs a lot of investment. I mean, there's a lot of areas that were only meant for a couple thousand people, and then they now have like 10 or 20,000 people. So it's so funny how this essential system that we all depend upon just never gets talked about and nobody knows anything about. So that's why I love Backed Up. And then every time Backed Up was interviewing anybody, they always say, hey, did you know that there's a comic book about the sewer system? And I'm like, and so they had to have me on. And I was like, hell yeah, you have to have me on. And they're great. They're wonderful. I love the subject matter they've picked. And they even have zines.
Really?
I'm taking some of those zines. I'm headed to the my third appearance at the Wet Show. Is in February, the Wastewater Equipment Treatment and Transport Show. It's in Indianapolis, and this is the third year we've been invited to go. And I'm telling you, we talked to a bunch of sewer workers, treatment professionals, plumbers, and they really love seeing themselves in comics.
Well, I will say this. It's in the queue, backed up podcast, because I want to hear it. I want to hear podcast that is probably one of the subjects that you didn't think you'd hear on a podcast.
That is true. But it's no Matlock. It's no Matlock. It's not
Matt Talk. I mean, coming from a guy that makes weird, very niche podcasts, I can respect backed up podcasts. I mean, hey, you know. Hey, you talked about some of the funding that Cincinnati has available to artists and art organizations and whatnot. I thought I read somewhere where you got an Inspire artist grant.
Yes, so that was the previous year as well. And then I also got an Ohio Arts Council grant for travel. So I'm going to – they're helping support my expenses. So in May, I can travel to Cleveland Asian Festival, Asian Food Fest down in Cincinnati, and Columbus Asian Festival and Memorial Day weekend. So it's a really great opportunity. I think that a lot of creators like myself, they've had to be as inventive as they can as far as raising money to pay for just the basic printing. So, you know, they do a lot of crowdsourcing. They do a lot of Kickstarters. I'm not great at the Kickstarters and the benefits and admittedly, if you start talking alternate covers, I might start crying because I don't understand. I don't understand like the 20 different kind of covers, but if that's what people love, do it. I am not great at organizing that for my own books. I was like, I have two covers and I get confused on which one's which. But so I think there's a lot more opportunities trying to get artist grants and just different foundations that are supporting artists. Because we always talk about comic book artists being underground or not in the spotlight enough. People like yourselves are wonderful providing a spotlight for us, but we still don't have that mainstream appeal as much. So that's why I think that getting these grants really acknowledges that we are an art form that needs to be put in the spotlight.
You know, and funny you mentioned that. I can remember growing up where comic books were not literature.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were fluff. They were not to be taken seriously. And then, you know, oh, how that has changed. And thank God it has changed too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Well, Jay, let's start wrapping things up here. You mentioned your appearance at the WET convention, correct?
WET. Get WET. Yeah.
Do you have any other appearances lined up here in the next few months?
I should be at the next few months. Well, I'll be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. That's our hometown show. And they're moving back to the convention center, the new convention center. So the newly redone convention center. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be doing, for the first time, I'm going to do Terrificon. Terrificon's in Connecticut. And I'm telling you, that's one of those shows that really focus on the comic books. And they have so many different creators like Chris Claremont and John Romita Jr. It's so many creators that I don't even want to be at my table. All I want to do is get stuff signed and talk to different creators, you know. But I'll be there, and that'll be in August, I believe. And let's see, I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to lock down my schedule right now.
So let's talk one more time about where folks can get St. Malo or any of your books.
You want to go to Mess Comics, M-E-S-S-E-D Comics .com.
And how about social media?
Instagram is, we're still going to keep with all the Mess Comics stuff. So Instagram's Mess Comics, M-E-S-S-E-D Comics, and Facebook as well. We're also same tag also on Blue Sky.
Okay. All right. Well, Jay, it's always fun sitting down and chatting with you, man.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I want my repeat award.
I'll start working on that.
I need my trophy.
We'll see what I can do. We'll see what I can manufacture here.
You got to set that goal like 10 times. You got to be on the show 10 times.
10 times. 10 times. Oh, man. Well, hey, like I always say to cool guests who come on and chat with me, I always tell them, hey, you have a blank invitation to anytime you want to come in, come on and talk. And you're one of those fine folks, by the way.
Oh, I'm going to hit that 10 then. I'll get that 10.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jay Kalagayan, talking about St. Malo, his new project. And if you want to grab a copy, go over to messcomics.com. That's messedcomics.com. And you can find out all the information, how you can get your hands on that new project or any of the other projects that Jay has done in the past. So with that being said, it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First of all, you can find me on Twitter. Yeah, I know I'm still on that cesspool, but what can I say? My personal Twitter handle over there is at PVDMVP. You can also drop me a line on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you want, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Maybe you want to let some folks know about the show and where they can hear it. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But of course, the show is also available through all those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. All you have to do is put PVDcast to the search bar of your favorite outlet or app, put PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're definitely using one of your favorite apps or outlets to hear the PVDcast, let them know that you enjoy the show, rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm so much. And you know what? While we're at it, why don't you subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast? And the third and final way that you can hear the show is through the Facebook page, where on every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast. So there you go. Three very easy ways to hear the PVDcast. PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and Wednesday nights through the Facebook page at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.